Triple M Rocks Saturday Arvo Footy. Triple M Rocks the Footy. For Harvey Norman Home Appliances. In the beginning, it was a game. Balls were kicked. Weekends filled. Time passed. But over time, it became more than just a game. Passion grew. Legends were born. Heroes created. Over a century later, it's in our blood. Rugby League. Now. Welcome. This is Triple M NRL. Right now.
Indeed, welcome, welcome, welcome. Saturday afternoon, rugby league all about. It was happening last night. The Roosters 30, the Doggies 12, and the Cowboys and Broncos. Another terrific local derby there, 24-20. The Broncos got the job done. All heading towards the Warriors, taking on the Titans, both first up winners last weekend. Who'd have thought that? They are playing. You'll hear it right here from these people. Wendell Saylor, James Hooper, Ryan Girdler. My name's Tony Squires. Hello, gentlemen. How
hey,
are
boys.
We all?
Hey, everyone. Hey, you know what I find every year, Tony?
What's that?
So I think it's due to the fact that the Dragons always start so well.
Mm-hmm.
You're so buoyant the early shows, aren't you? I think last year for the first 7 weeks, I mean, you're just
top of the
floating
world.
Around. And then, but it's back end of the season when we've really got to pick you up, and I hope that changes this
when
year.
When they lost 6 out of 17.
That's about it.
One 6 out of 17, I should say.
How was your week, boys? How was your week, Del?
Oh, mate, really good week, boys. I've really enjoyed, just being at home and just doing things around the house. So I've shifted a little bit and started to help around the house.
Really?
Okay. Yeah.
What's some things?
Washing up, taking the rubbish out, actually doing something rather than just lay around, you know.
Wow, washing up. You haven't got a dishwasher at all?
Yeah, we have, but, mate, I like to save, power, and obviously I think about the environment, mate.
So you think your family and the environment both?
Yeah, because my wife told me I had to lift a little bit around the house.
Okay.
And then when you do those sort of things, good things happen to good people.
Right, okay. And you're including yourself in these good people?
Yeah. Sorry, I am now, yeah.
That's a big turnaround.
So he's actually doing it so that he gets something back in the long run.
Yeah, of course he is.
I understand,
speaking of relationships, I understand that you had a sleepover.
Yes.
At Maroons.
So on Thursday night.
What?
Yeah. Thursday night, we called the game. Obviously, the Dragons. I'm happy because, the Dragons and the Broncos have won.
Yeah.
So I was going to stay at Ridges. I always do, World Square. Brad McNamara was giving me a room, but Ed Sheeran's in town. So.
Right.
So he had your room, did he?
What? No, well, mate, everything was booked out. So Maroon had said the last couple of years, if you ever want to stay somewhere, mate, just give us a call. I've got a spare room there. So,
okay.
Did he put you in the spare wing at Little Bay, did he? Or?
Yes, he did. Yeah, and I've got to say,
what's it like?
It was great because I had a 6 o'clock flight out the next morning.
Did he toss in, like, breakfast?
No. I was up at, 4:30. But, I'll tell you what was good. When we got there, his dog, I don't think his dog likes big dark guys because it just kept barking at me the whole time.
Really?
Yeah.
What sort of dog is it?
I don't know, but it was a menace. So I felt bad being there. So it was very protective. But
maybe you took his room.
No, I don't know. Mate, I don't know the dog's name, but it wouldn't stop barking at me. But I got a
what
bit
do you mean you don't know the dog? If a dog's barking at you in somebody's house, they own a dog, wouldn't be the first question, what's the dog's name?
Yeah, but
g'day, Jack.
But to be honest,
make friends with the dog.
No, but I tried to, and the more I tried to make friends with it, because everyone loves the Dell, so when I was trying to make friends with the dog, it kept barking at me louder and louder.
Right, okay.
Mm. So I just thought, okay, I'll go out the back, and there was two cats out the back.
Didn't know you're a classic sausage dog owner.
But
can't recognise a fellow dog owner.
His name is Dobby, please. We do not call him sausage dog, okay? His name
but
is
how
Dobby.
Was it? How was the general sort of feeling around Maroon's house?
Mate, it's a beautiful.
Is it as weird as him?
No, it's a beautiful.
Is it right that he walks around in his undies? That's
no,
it? Refuses
we
to wear
with
fabric?
Me and Miss Portugal, she left a beautiful note for me. I'll show it to you later, boys. She said, sorry, couldn't stay up, after. It was a late night.
Mm-hmm.
But she said, make yourself at home, and I certainly did that.
Yeah. Are there lots of mirrors?
No, there's not, but there's a lot of South Sydney gear. Mate, I've got video for you boys. I took a couple of sneaky little videos of the South Sydney stuff, and then when I went out the back, there was two pussycats, and I said, what's your cat's names?
You didn't ask what the dog's name was.
No, I did, but I don't care about the dog because it hates me, okay? If you hate me, I don't like you. So I said, what's their names? He goes, they don't have names. I said, are they your cats? He goes, yeah, but they don't have names. So he's a weirdo. I know I'm weird.
This is the kind of strangest.
Hey, Tony,
story.
Can I stay at your house on Thursday night?
No, absolutely. But in saying
my
that,
dog's name's Skipper. You'll be okay.
Oh, really?
I'll stay there again. I can't wait.
Will you?
Yeah, and then he says, my son might come home. What do you mean, might come home? Is he going to come home? and his son didn't come home. So, yeah.
So it's a good thing, rather than Triple M having to put you up at Ridges. You know, thank you to the good people of Ridges, obviously, and to Triple M for throwing the money out. But maybe it should be cheaper. Maybe we should have some kind of system across the year where we get
like
the
we bill it.
We billet each other. Because sporting, when you're at school, you always
You tried to billet me out a few years ago, Tony, didn't you?
I love billeting. Yeah. It's not me.
But can I be honest? If I had my time over again, I'd rather be in a room by myself, because not that there wasn't food there. He was a great host, but...
What do you mean, a room by yourself?
So when I go to the Ridges, first thing after I have a call, give myself a bit of a pat on the back and
have
I have a call. Yeah, call. So I usually get a club sandwich. And there was no club sandwich at Maroons. He just said, I had to make my own stuff, and he pulls out Jack's biscuits.
Was there a mini bar?
Then I had to drink two beers by myself because Maroon doesn't drink at the moment. So, to be honest,
it's the worst night of your life.
And it wasn't the worst, but thanks very much, Maroon, for letting me stay there.
The Roosters beat the Doggies 30-12. We're going to get there. We're also going to chat with Dylan Napo. Sterlo joins us before we lead in to this game this afternoon. The Warriors taking on the Titans. So much ahead of us. Saturday, Triple M NRL. Thanks for doing Mongrel Boots.
Actually, just one more thing. I got up at like 4:45 and he didn't get up with me to say like, thanks very much.
Thanks for coming to stay at my house.
Yeah, he didn't get up. Oh, he just said, mate, make yourself at home and that. So I felt sort of bad. I called the taxi and that. Wait a minute.
If he has invited you to stay at his house and you get up at 4:45 to leave, he's supposed to get up to see you to the fence.
Well, I would do. If I was hosting someone, I'd get up and make sure they were all right and they were off all right. You know?
It's the only way to behave when you've got a billet. Got to do the right thing.
133353. If you want to billet Wendell any time during the year, just give us a call.
A segment.
We'll see what we can find
Thursday
out.
Thursday nights.
And I've got to say, the bed was so comfy, but what spooked me a little bit was the cradle was in the corner.
The cat in the cradle?
No, because he's a grandfather, isn't he?
Grandfather.
I thought he might be going again on me.
I've got some vision. I'll show you later.
What of him going again?
No.
Please. Of the cats with no name. We've got plenty to come to.
Cats don't come when you call them anyway, Tony.
Warriors taking on the Titans. Now, as I mentioned, looking at that Tyre Power scoreboard, the Roosters, too good for the Doggies, 30-12, a couple of weeks in a row that the Dogs have had some points scored against them, over 30. We'll chat with Dylan Napa very shortly. First, gents, after last week, there was a bit of pressure on the Roosters, weren't they, given the expectations of this side and the list that they had. And you know, that obviously does build some pressure. They played well last night, and the return of Luke Keary, as much as what the other guys did, was important.
Huge, Tony. They responded with interest, the Chooks. It had been a massive week. They were the premiership favourites, and I didn't think they were that bad against the Tigers, but I guess because of the players that they'd signed, Cooper Cronk and James Tedesco, when they combined last night, I think Andrew Voss in Fox League commentary labelled it the $2 million try, because they were the star recruits over the off-season. The rest of the talk was also around how the Tigers forward pack had basically got the points, a clear points victory over the Chooks, and the Chooks off the back of what had happened in the finals last season. Well, the questions were also being asked about whether they'd lost the fear factor or not, but I'll tell you what, last night they came up against the Australian Test front row in David Clemmer and Aaron Woods, and well, they certainly answered that question.
I think it just shows what a great job the Tigers did on the Roosters last week as well. I don't think they've been given enough credit for just dominating through the middle, and that's one area, and I think we'll get into the Bulldogs a little bit later on, but that's one area without James Graham that they need a forward leader to put their hand up and drive the defensive line speed in relation to their line speed, because they were really passive last night. And look, the Roosters, their back five were amazing. They got incredible outside backs, the Roosters. Incredible athletes. And
Ferguson was huge.
Ferguson's, you know, he's averaging over 200 metres, like almost 300 metres last week in a losing side. And then he put on a little bit of weight. But I think he's off the drink and he's really focused on this season, and it's showing in his performance. He was outstanding again.
The thing about Blake Ferguson, we all know how talented he is, but he comes up with some mistakes. In last year, you know, he had way too many mistakes. He was carrying the ball strong, but then he'd drop the ball or miss a tackle. And Roosters fans actually were saying, I don't mind if he goes, you know. But you can just see a real confidence with that back five, and we see in the Sharks over the years, their back five, they can really help you out and set a standard.
I really like what Luke Keary brings to that side as well, because I think last week they sort of, it seemed like they went out. We all know Cooper's a really structured player. And I think sometimes, you know, there was a lot of talk about whose style are they going to play? Well, Cooper's going to be there. We're playing the Roosters' style. And I think they looked like they overcomplicated things last week. They've got so many natural footballers in that side that sometimes, you know, I think perfection can get in the way of progress. And you just need to go out, play some footy, get some confidence, and then start putting things together and they fall in place. And I think that's what Luke Keary brings, because he just loves playing footy. And Cooper last night was just able to sort of run around, direct the team. But the interesting thing I found was when there was a big moment or there was some momentum and a big play needed to be made, it was Keary that actually got his hands on the football. Yep. This kid, I tell you, he had a great year last year, and I think he's heading for another one this year.
He goes to the line for a little bloke. He doesn't mind going right into the line, does it, before releasing that pass?
He dances in the Valley of Death, Tone. And not only that, considering that he's coming off, right, he got knocked out really, really badly at training by one of the Roosters' young gun Kiwi forwards, and he had headaches off the back of it. He had all sorts of medical testing. He missed round one, and then that performance that he put in last night, there was a patch in the game where you could see it looked as though he'd lost a little bit of colour out of his face. So in terms of the toughness of Luke Keary, he's certainly punching well and truly above his weight. But the speed as well, Wendell. Like, there was a period where James, early on in the game, the ball hits the deck. Kieran Foran's trying to push a pass. Tedesco ends up with the ball and is flying and then finds Keary inside. And Keary actually, it looked as though Keary was going away from him a little bit.
Yeah, well, I think the thing about Keary is we all know he's one of those little players that got a little bit of aggro in him. And I remember Sam Burgess a couple of years ago. I said, mate, what's this Luke Keary like? Because he's always at him. You know, like Alan Lang, you know, his cheeky, Craig Yow are the same, those cheeky little halves and that. And that's, you can tell he brings that to the team. And he's a tough kid. So last week, mate, when he was ruled out, that threw the Roosters out a little bit. There's obviously the press about, you know, they're the favourites, they can win this and that. And I reckon, you know, they learnt their lesson last week, and Luke Keary's a big part of this team, you know.
They play much better at home because there's nobody there and they can hear the calls. Oh. They can hear exactly what Cooper Cronk is instructing to him. But, you know, Trent Robinson just opens his window and can tell him, yeah.
Well, there was 12, I think there was just over 12,000 there last night, Tony, on Friday. And I guess, you know, 6 o'clock game, it's hard to get there after work. So
totally,
we'll let them off for that one, but let's hope they can start attracting some bigger numbers.
Now, before we get to Dylan Upper, and we'll chat with him very briefly, let's flip it to the Bulldogs. And we'd love to hear from you if you're a Bulldog fan or a Roosters fan as well. Bulldogs fan, are you after 2 weeks a little bit concerned about what the season has in store for you? 1-333-53 is our number. Love to chat with you across the afternoon. What are your thoughts on the Doggies? You were kind of last week hopeful about them.
Well, it's been obvious that they've done a lot of work in the off-season on their attack. Yeah. And I think they showed that against Melbourne last week, who probably didn't click into gear as well. And look, I thought last night, from an attacking perspective, they were way too sideways. I know they certainly didn't win the battle through the middle. And therefore, you know, they've really got this lateral attitude at the moment where they're just going from one sideline to the other. Their set pieces look disorganised. When they do get the ball in good field position, they didn't come up with any plays that troubled the Roosters, even when they had 12 men. And that was the real concern. There was a moment in the game when one of the Roosters players got 10 minutes. It's Liu got 10 minutes in the bin for a professional foul. And the Bulldogs didn't threaten. It actually looked like they lost the man. And I think that's the real concern going forward. And just quickly on their defence as well, you know, James Graham, they want to be the Dogs of War, and that's what they've come back to discover or rediscover what made them so successful back in the day. But if you look at the competition, you look at front rowers and who represents being, you know, like a Dogs of War, it's a mentality. It's James Graham, you know, and they lost James Graham. And you can see the impact that he's had on the Dragons. And they got Aaron Woods. And Aaron Woods, as you said before, is the Australian front rower. But he doesn't play the same way that James Graham plays. Yeah. And him and Clemmer are obviously, you know, they're enforcers and they're good with the football, but they don't drive the line speed in defence. And I think that's what their issue was last night. They were passive defensively, and it's an absolute attitude thing, especially in that middle third. When you go into battle, you come up against the Roosters, who copped a little bit of a spray last week through the forwards, and we're going to come out and represent, and then the Doggies just, their pack just got dominated last night, and on the back of that, obviously then they didn't have far to go with their attack, and that was just a poor performance.
Just on the Dogs' defence, Gerds, in terms of points conceded, it's their worst start, I think it is, to a season in 47 years in terms of how many points they've actually leaked in. Look, it might take a little bit of time. I like what they're trying to do with the ball. Like, I like the fact that they are taking some risks and doing something a little bit different, because if you go back to the style that they were playing last year, it was way too formulaic and robotic. Yeah. And even you speak to the players, yep, they were all getting just as frustrated as all the supporters were in terms of watching them play. So, look, it might take a little bit of time for the Bulldogs, but I wouldn't be writing them off just at this stage of the
They've just got to work on different elements of their game, and I think defence is the key because their focus has been on attack.
Well, Gertz, you know this. When you've got a defensive system that's new or a new coach, it takes a while sometimes, you know, and that's even with the Dragons last week. Paul McGregor's been there for a while, but I didn't know how they would go against the Broncos. I thought the Broncos would have their system in place and they'd, you know, play like the Dragons did last week. But there's got to be a trust factor there. The Dogs, they'll build into it, and I've got no doubt after about 4 or 6 weeks, I'll be okay.
The funny thing was last night, the success they had with the football came through when they went down the middle. It was Frawley sort of broke them open. And so they've got to get that, obviously got to work on getting that balance right where it was, they were so side to side. And Kieran, you know, what did you call it? The valley of death. I mean, he just probably wasn't putting himself in that position as he was
the week
before.
Normally he always does.
And I guess that comes on the back of, and their defensive line also, they were retreating a lot. And that's what saw Tedesco on that rundown short size. They were actually sort of offering opportunities for the Roosters, and the Roosters were taking them. And yeah, they got some things to change.
Yeah, we said last year, remember Moses Mumbai, mate, fullback's a great position for him because I reckon he's in the top 10 quickest in the league. Off the cuff last week, we saw him make those runs.
I wish he'd kept running once he'd broken through. He's in a foot race with Tedesco.
He's so explosive, and I don't think people realise how good he can be, and I don't think he realises how good he can be. I reckon it's a perfect position for him.
What are the upshot on those injuries? Tupou, that pec, that's always a bad one, isn't it?
Doesn't sound good for Daniel Tupou, I beg your pardon. I think he's going to be missing for a fair chunk of the season. Yeah, pecs, it's not a good injury to sustain, Tony. And yeah, unfortunately, I think we might see him missing for a long time.
What did he do last year? Remember, he had a bit of time out.
Look, he had a few injuries last year. I seem to remember he did his ankle at one point, but there might have also been something upper body as well. Yeah.
All right, 133353 is the number. Give us a call. Love to chat with you about your thoughts on that game. Anything else that pops into your head next hour, we are going to speak with Dylan Napa. That's next on Saturday, Triple M NRL. We are joined by Dylan Napa. G'day, mate. Congratulations. Great win for you guys.
Yeah, hey, boys. Thanks, Otto. Happy to get a win finally this year.
Well, finally. It's only been one game you lost, buddy. You know, it's early in the season. Yeah. It was one of those things, wasn't it? There was so much expectation on this side first time around with the player list, with, you know, people like Cooper Cronk and Jimmy Tedesco coming over. They certainly did it. Luke Keary comes back and the forward stood up as well.
Went forward and just gave that bit of room for the backs to do some magic, which was good. Good to see you finally.
Hey, Dylan, there was a lot of outside noise after that opening round loss about the Roosters and about the fact that you were premiership favourites. What was being said inside the walls of the club?
We were still pretty focused. We thought we didn't play too badly. We just had that one lapse at the end of the game. So if we held them off there, we would have had a good defensive performance. So there was no real stressing. We just changed up a little bit, changed our game plan up a little bit, and got the outside backs a bit more involved.
Hey, big deal. We know you got some great forwards there, but what about your outside five, mate? Blake Ferguson, Latrell Mitchell, I'm a massive fan. Latrell looks like he's really trimmed up, but he's playing with maturity, which I like.
Yeah, the boys had a good preseason. Yeah, I think Fergo is probably looking the best I've ever seen him. I think he's probably averaging over 200 metres over the first couple of games. And Joey Manu and Latrell, you know what you're going to get from the boys there. So, man, it's exciting to see. I can't wait for the year.
I was going to say, mate, Blake, you'd be letting you know too how good he's looking, wouldn't he? A bit of a third person talking.
Yeah, he hasn't worn a shirt all preseason. when you got an eight pack like that, man, if I had the same mood as him, I wouldn't be wearing a shirt.
Still, talking about looking good, Mitch Orbison, he couldn't be pretty this morning, I wouldn't have thought.
Well, I saw him at recovery. He didn't look too bad. He had his zipper. I think he had 12 stitches or something like that. It looked like he lost about a couple of litres of blood in the head. So he's at recovery. He seemed all right. So Dylan, yeah, he'll be hopefully for this week, surely.
Tell us a little bit about your role, obviously, to the early part of this season, coming off the bench as an impact player. We see Campbell Gillard doing that out west as well, and last night it seemed to have the desired effect. You came on, brought a lot of energy and really drove that middle and the back end of the first half.
Yeah, I approach each game the same, you know, whether on the bench or starting. So it doesn't really, you know, I don't change my preparation each week for whether I start or come off the bench. But, you know, it worked this week, so I'll probably be doing it again. It'd be nice to be starting, but, you know, hopefully just can do my job for the boys and just keep getting wins.
Hey, Narbs, back in the day, the wingers, we didn't mind sticking together, me and Lottie and that. What about the front rowers union? Aaron Woods, good to see you get a decent haircut.
Yeah, I didn't mind the one last week.
Oh, mate, Dora, this story. Woods is a champion, but that wasn't a good haircut.
I can't bag it because my mum's got the same one.
Drop the mic. And on that, your work here is done.
Go and enjoy the East.
Dylan Harper, great to talk to you. Thanks, buddy.
Hey, take care.
Thanks, we'll man. Do. Can't beat that. There he is, Dylan Harper. We'll be speaking to his mother in the next hour. Oh. This is NRL on Triple M. We are going to throw open the vault door again a little bit later. We didn't get them all done last week, our predictions for 2018. Mm-hmm. But it just made me think about that.
Have
when
we fixed the vault door, Tony?
Well, no, I'm still worried about the vault door. Yeah,
it was just missing a little bit of something last week, wasn't
it? Missing closure, I think. But thinking about that made me think about last week in round one, how everybody did have their predictions and how things changed so dramatically in what you think is going to happen on the NRL field in a season just with one game. So here I'm just throwing this to you randomly, gentlemen. It's just an idea called "It was only round one, but." So are there any things that you said pre-round one that suddenly changed dramatically by the end of round one?
Oh, I didn't say anything, Tony, but I can remember.
Stupid you said, Ryan Girdler.
I think there was a few people out there saying that, you know, the Eels are going to win the comp. Maybe Valentine Holmes are going to have a great season at fullback for the Sharks. The Broncos can't play.
Broncos
that was
can't
out there.
Play.
They got no forwards.
Broncos haven't got it.
Steve Kerr would be the first coach axed. I can't believe blokes are saying that.
That's the fourth year in a row you've said that too.
No, but I still think he could. Mate, one game, mate, he's not like super coach because, mate, Alex Corvo's done a really good job there, but I'm still not sold on the Warriors, mate.
The Roosters won't win a game.
No. Yeah.
What about, there's massive issues out west in Penrith.
Oh, Penrith, massive issues. Yeah,
it makes a fool out of all of us, doesn't it, round one, usually?
You know, like, Gordon Tallis used to say wingers are those blokes hanging around footballers. Mm-hmm. So, Nathan Ross, did you see the tweet? About halfway through that game where he said...
Which one?
Parramatta are the real deal. And then all of a sudden they just get, like, beaten.
There you go, round one.
Yeah, that's what happens. Happens to the best of us, you know?
But does what happened in round one change any of those things completely? For example, the Panthers thing. We're talking about Panthers. There's all trouble with the coach. I mean, coach and Phil Gould and so on and so forth. They had a terrible preseason. Then they come out and do the job. Does that change everybody's opinion?
Oh, as everybody knows better than anything, especially these blokes, because they lived it, breathed it and played it. Winning fixes everything, Tone. It's an old cliche. But, you know, I remember when all the noise was around Penrith about a month ago, I remember speaking to people out there at the time and they said, well, we'll just wait and see. But once the season gets underway, as long as we start strong in the opening month, win a few games, all the outside noise will start to hose down a little bit and they can get on with business. So I don't think it's gone away entirely. They've only won one match. So we'll see how they go. They've got to back it up later on the Savo again against the Bunnies. And the Bunnies are going to be desperate. They've lost Adam Reynolds. Young Adam Dewahi will play halfback. But
is he going to be the tallest halfback in the NRL? He's like 190 centimetres,
I think. He's big, I remember Trent Barrett played
Bryce Cartwright might be.
Okay, that's true.
Trent Barrett played a few games at halfback too. He was pretty damn tall.
I've seen this kid play through his juniors. He's played against my young bloke and there's Victor Radley and Lachlan Lamb. This kid can play and he's really confident. So I will say this about the Dragons and the Broncos. Last week, you know, you get off the fence. Last week, I tipped the Broncos to win that. They were terrible. I went there to last night, Suncorp. I wanted the Broncos to win, but I thought the Cowboys, after what they did last week, and I just thought Talmalolo and Thurston would carve them up, and it just didn't happen. They need Morgan back ASAP as well.
It's a cracking game, though. What is it about those Queensland derbies that just always produce? They never fail to deliver an exciting, brilliant, edge-of-your-seat contest.
But Parramatta and Penrith, that was exciting too. The way that Parramatta started, 14-0, Corey Norman, Bevan French, and then over the second half, mate. Wonga Blake, can I ask, is he a New South Welshman, or is he like a, you know, is he Fijian, or what happens there?
He's, I think he's from Western Australia.
He's from WA, yeah. And I think he started off
you know what?
Here.
That's in Queensland.
That's a Queenslander.
So, yeah.
So I think for me, Tony, that, like, you always see that the better rosters at some point are always going to click and come through. So those questions are really about the Broncos and the Roosters and that. You kind of, you get after round one, two, yeah, you can put your sort of reputation on the line a little bit and come up with duck eggs, but some of the things that you do see is what's happened in the preseason and changes that have been made to some clubs. And I think the standout for me was the Warriors, the fact that they actually looked fit. And everyone's talking about their training regime and their different methods that they took onto the field. And, yeah, the way that they played. And so they obviously they've just got a totally different attitude. So they've never lacked the roster. They've always had skill. But now they look like they've got the right attitude and they're fit. So for me, they were the ones that sort of said, well, I don't think, you know, the Warriors are going to come last this year, but a lot of people have tipped them that way.
Oh, I still think they'll probably finish down the bottom of the ladder. But I've got to say, Blake Green, he's been a good foil for Sean Johnson. Sean Johnson, you don't want him thinking too much. You just want him to do what he's doing there, playing off the cuff. So no surprise Blake Green goes there. If you think about the Warriors in the past, they've had James Maloney, Nathan Fein, players like that that get the balance right. They're, you know, they're the real thinkers, and I think that was perfect. That's the best I've seen Sean Johnson play in a couple of years, and I think you gave him a bit of a serve last year. Remember, Gerds?
Yeah. Yeah, I don't think he's been – I mean, look, I think the frustrating thing about Sean is we know what he can do, but he just doesn't do it hard, you know, anywhere near enough.
Consistently, on a regular basis.
And it was funny. I think I was watching something you did the other day, Hoops, one of your 1,000 things that you do a week. And,
oh, mate, please don't you start.
And,
every time I turn the television on, there is the Mayor of Penrith.
It might have been a thing with Finchie where Finchie said, if you know, it's a tough place to play. If you don't like pressure, don't play for the Roosters. And if Sean Johnston would come and play for the Roosters, you know, the scrutiny that he would be under week in, week out to perform, it's immense. And over there, it probably gets brushed under the carpet a little bit.
All right, they take on the Titans this afternoon. Of course, you will hear it right here on Triple M. You can hear every second of Triple M footy wherever you are. Just download that Triple M NRL app. There you go. It was only round one, but it's only round two. But I'm going to say it right here and now. Luke Keary, State of Origin.
Gee, you've gone early. That's big there, Tone. You've gone early.
Well, you know, tell us why.
He's on
though.
The radar.
Tell us why, because you like the sounding of the names.
I like Nathan Cleary. And Keary. Cleary and Keary together just rolls off the tongue.
Doesn't it?
And they are both great young halves. Yeah. There you go. I'm just saying.
No,
I'm
saying you're a good judge of football for a long time, Tone, and that just underlines what I want to hear.
To be honest, it doesn't matter who you guys pick, you'll lose again. But anyway, let's move on.
From the man who scored a hole-in-one. But let's not talk about that. Yeah. Dragons and the Sharks when they get there next on Saturday, Triple M NRL.
Flawless start from the Sharks, wasn't it, Tone? I think in that opening half they completed 20 out of 22 sets. And to think that they were peppering the line probably for the last 10, 15 minutes of that opening half, and the Dragons did really well to hold their nerve. The try before half time that Nene McDonald, the Dragons winger, scored is as good a try as you will see. Gareth Widdop chip kick, and how he managed to contort himself to stay in the field of play. I'll tell you the other thing about Nene McDonald as well, fellas. He reminds me of one of your old roommates, Gerds. Yeah. He's got the big rump, and he's a big 6'48" unit.
Is he in the room?
Weighs about 106 kilos. Wore the red V number 5 jumper. Oh, he's just there are some similarities there, Wendell. Do you like him?
Oh, look, I've liked him for a couple of years now. And when he was at the Gold Coast, I said to Paul McGregor, I said, mate, you got to sign. I tried to sign Nene McDonald. I didn't know this, but when they did the Tigers and Tigers game down there at Campbelltown. Apparently, he'd signed that contract behind the stadium. Yeah, a couple
of
years ago.
Is that right?
Yeah. Because Mary, I could tell the story now. Mary said, mate, we've already signed him. So that was sort of off the record. Mate, I like Nene McDonald. I reckon he can be a world-class winger. He floats in and out of games. Sometimes he'll make a powerful run and he'll throw the ball when he doesn't need to. Mm. I don't think he knows how good he can be. And some of those runs when he's going across the field, I understand. Like, I used to do it too. But, mate, he's so powerful. If he straightens up a bit more and gets him on the front foot, mate, him and Tim Laffey, I would love to work with those two at some stage, or we'll just have a talk to them because, mate, they both can do so much.
Peter Dowsty's fit and available if he's still out there. Red V's can still be a part of him.
I don't want to be a part of that because my son's playing there, but I'm just saying those two outside backs, mate, they're very good players, but they've both got mistakes in them. And like Tim Laffey, when he should probably run, he passes, and when he passes, he probably should just, you know. And that's the thing about those players.
The thing I love about McDonald is the way he powers out a dummy half. Like when you played, it's essentially like having another forward.
Yep.
Because when you're coming out of, you know, hard ball, coming out of your own end, it really is. He's a tremendous player.
Well, I didn't know how fast he was. At Campbelltown that day, He got an open space. David Nofaluma was chasing him, and he was getting away from him. So Nofaluma wasn't injured. Then I realised that Nana McDonald is the real deal. And I watched him in the World Cup when I went up in the Papua New Guinea. He played in the centres, and he was just schooling those blokes, Wales and that. He's a very talented bloke. He can be so much better.
The thing
it's going to come with maturity.
The thing I liked about the Dragons was the fact that I think they're the real deal.
Yeah.
You know, you speak about Nana, but the fact that they've won in different ways in 2 weeks, consecutive weeks. I mean, they played a totally different game in the first week against the Brisbane Broncos, where it all clicked into gear. It was based on attack, and there was a lot of width in their game, and defence was solid, and obviously their attitude was great, but they won in a different manner in which they did on Thursday night, which was basically having the Sharks take them into their own territory, make them scrap for everything that they were going to earn in a game that the Sharks like to play, and then beating them at their own game. That's what the Dragons effectively did, I think. You know, they had 45% possession all game, but that was even less in the first half. They missed 13 tackles, the Dragons, all game.
Wow.
When they only had like 45% of the football. And the Sharks threw plenty at them. I mean, they're disjointed at the moment. They've got some work to do with their attack and some of their key positions. They just don't look settled, do they? What are they going to do with Valentine? Don't get me wrong, that's definitely having an effect on the team, you know, because that's such an important position back there. You've got a different guy in there, some guy sliding in and out of games. But so the Sharks, I thought that was they played that game perfectly for how they like to play footy games at Shark Park, but the Dragons just showed that they can win different ways and feather in their cap.
Yeah, mate, the Dragons are playing some good football. There's real confidence in that second half. I thought the Sharks, the way they played in the first half, they might get away with it. I reckon the Sharks bombed 4 tries. Fecky was unmarked once or twice. Matty Pryor was virtually had to catch it and he would have scored. And then Matt Moylan, there's 4 tries there. They should have been 20 points up at halftime, boys.
Yeah, you're spot on. That's why their coach, Shane Flanagan, was fuming, and rightfully so, at the end of the game, because it really was 2 points squandered in terms of the competition ladder. The thing that I liked about the Dragons, Kurds, is when they were under pressure and having to play off the back foot, their halves, they weren't playing their absolute 8, 9 out of 10 game, but they just managed to find a way to steady the ship. Then Widdop puts up the little chip for McDonald. They get to 14-4, then they come back out in the second half and they grind and they grind, and it was really strong to see. They're going to develop into a better and better football
side. Some of those
side.
Young guys are really developing beautifully. Yeah. You and Aitken, each week I like
Gerd's
him more and
about
more.
Him last week.
He had a hammy last year, which kind of shortened his season, and shoulder as well, but he's strong, quick and strong.
Well, everyone knew he was quick and strong. He's obviously played New South Wales and Australian schoolboys and all that sort of stuff, but the thing about Ewan Aitken is we know how powerful he is. But what surprised me, when Fecky got into open space, I thought Fecky was gone. Mate, he mowed him down with ease. And that, for me, that's a big play. And that comes with confidence in the team. They're a happy team at the moment, the Dragons.
Well, they're confident. And you've got to talk about James Graham just for a second and the way that he's leading his pack around. Have a look at Lisa Naumau. These guys coming off the bench and Selle.
Yep.
The effect that they've had since, the improvement they've had since Graham's come to the club. And then you look at Jack DeBellin, who was having a belter of a season last year. He seems to have gone up a cog, and so do guys like Frizzell.
Who we're going to talk to, which
is great, and Paul Vaughan. So just having this guy around, it's going to be interesting to see with these guys what sort of effect he's had on the club.
Ben Hunt came up with a couple of huge defensive plays, one-on-one tackles on far bigger forwards. Really impressive.
But you mentioned Valentine Holmes and the Sharkies. Before I get your take again on what that is happening there, the fullback position, Anthony Minicello spoke on just that on the Rush Hour with MG.
I think Moylan is probably the best option. But I think, you know, it all depends on what the coach puts the most importance on. I think if you've got a solid fullback, then you leave him there for 80 minutes, because at the end of the day, and what we focus on is defence at the Roosters. So having a fullback that can organise a line, a la Billy Slater, the best at it.
Mm.
The reason why the Melbourne Storm have got the best defensive record most years is because Billy Slater organises the line really well. And if you keep chopping and changing your fullback, that will be compromised, I feel.
There you go. That's Anthony Minicello speaking out. The role of the fullback, and it is a little bit of a work in progress with Val moving over onto the wing.
Yeah, look, we all know he's a world-class finisher. We saw him in the World Cup, but I think at the moment he's on there to be the fullback long-term. And mate, we know Dugan and Moylan can play there. Sometimes you just get a bit nervous, and, you know, I think at the moment, Val, he's just lost a little bit of confidence at the moment.
All right, we're going to get to the best of the best. Just remind the Dragons that winners 20-16. This is Saturday, Triple M, NRL.
On Triple M, NRL. The best of the best.
Yes, indeed. All thanks to Mongrel Boots. It's just a segment where we run through some category and these three superstars will come up. The best of the best, as the name implies. This week we thought we might go down the wonderful, entertaining path of the rugby league sidestep.
Oh, yes.
The best of the best, Wendell Saylor. I know that your steps were pretty much one foot in front of the other rather than the sidestep.
I had a pretty good left foot step, but anyway, enough about that. Yep.
We used to always hope that Wendell would step on his way to us, but he didn't much. He just ran straight over the top of us.
Who do you like?
Oh, man, I'm going back old school. One of my favourite teams as a kid was Manly.
Oh, yep.
Michael O'Connor. My beautiful footwork. I know he played at the Dragons, but like, I loved Manly and I loved Michael O'Connor, one of my heroes. Mm-hmm. And then probably in the modern game, I suppose, Sean Johnson. Mate, everyone loves Sean Johnson. Mm-hmm. His footwork, you know, get YouTube him. And then Roger Tuivasa-Sheck. Oh. I think I've seen the best Roger Tuivasa-Sheck has played for a while last week. Mm-hmm. He seemed confident. He's just, you know, his footwork, you know, he sets him up, he goes bang off the right. So they're my three.
Everyone loves the story of the kid from Penrith who debuted as a teenager and just took the competition by storm at the time. He's now the New South Wales State of Origin coach, Freddie Fittler. Oh, that left foot.
Massive.
Yeah, you can watch videos of Freddie playing all day when he's putting some of that footwork on. Another one of Gerds' teammates who he won a premiership with in 2003. Really underrated player. Similar to Jeff Toovey in terms of just punch way above his weight. Preston Campbell won a Dally M medal at one
disappear.
Point.
Yeah. 1 minute it was in front of you. The next minute, like, honestly, he was behind you, Tony.
I remember Kenty writing a story about him once. He said the same thing about Matt Bowen. It's like trying to catch smoke in a net because it's just bloody hard. It's just bloody hard. And then lastly, I'm going to go a bloke who chalks up an absolutely magnificent milestone today, the great one and only Billy Slater.
Yep.
William Slater. Often people talk about Billy and they just automatically think speed, but Billy also has fantastic footwork and you can watch clips of him all day as well.
Well, I'm going to go old school.
Oh, good boy.
I'm going to go straight back to your man Changa,
who you're
very fond of and apparently he had one of the best, Tone. I've only seen footage of it.
The best. It was a massive step.
Yeah, left, right, both.
Yeah, mainly left, but he had both. He had both, absolutely.
I remember Bobby McCarthy saying to us recently when Changa passed that his sidestep, the first time he came across it, it was like a bloke on ice skates. He said he was going one way, then bang, he was just going the other way.
Okay.
All right, 20 seconds. Who are the other people?
Yeah, next one I've got Paul McGregor.
Ah, man.
Yeah. I don't know if he had a great step, but one day he stepped me about five times in the same game, so I'm saying he did. And Benji Marshall, what a step Benji. One of the best.
He was brilliant as well. All right, there you go. The best of the best. Thank you so much to Mongrel Boots. Built for the pure comfort. That's what Mongrel Boots is. Plenty to come. Sturlo joins us so much more next.